If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Borough Market Podcast. This is where you'll meet some of the most amazing traders behind the stalls at London's most famous market. We start with Pappy's Pickles and walk through Borough Market with its head chef Shantanu Ramanan, whose daughter Abby is the founder. Shantanu told me why they're bringing South Indian and Sri Lankan street food to Borough, and why social enterprise is at the heart of their business.
I came over from India, from Tamil Nadu, about 30 years ago. So I have been here a long time. And I have always cooked very traditional South Indian food, using fresh coconut, fresh spices, never bought a sauce, never bought anything. South Indian and Sri Lankan food is very similar. We are Tamils and they are Tamils as well, but just from two different countries. And it combined with Abby, who's my daughter, her passion to help the Tamils, particularly due to the civil war in Sri Lanka, and offer the London living wage, the quality of the products, the local sourcing. So we try to get it from markets. We have from fishmongers, so we very particular about the quality of the product, and to, you know, offer women regular employment, training, the London living wage. And here we are, 3 years since we started, and delighted to be in Borough Market.
What an amazing place for a food stall. So this is your first month at Borough. What does Borough Market feel like to you?
Amazing. I mean, it's just a wonderful place, you know, world renowned market. Even though it's January and it's cold and it's post-Christmas, there's still a buzz. And you meet all kinds of people from different countries. And I think because of what we do, they come up to us and it's not just like, oh, can I have a dosa? They want to engage with us, talk to us. And you just, it's just the variety. It brings variety, it brings energy, and it's great.
One of the joys of being at Borough Market is the access to excellent local suppliers.
We have been told about Spice Mountain, who does an exotic range of spices. So I'm in the process of going over there to meet her, to see what she does and how we can incorporate that into our cooking. We do tomato and garlic pickles, so we started buying our tomatoes from here. And we use free-range lamb for our mutton roll, so we've not on a regular basis because we've just started, but we will be using, we have bought it from them before. So we will be using the market product. It's great. I mean, it's just right here.
You can bring down, yes, your food miles. You can be totally,
yes,
sort of sustainable.
Yes, absolutely.
Should we go back to your stall?
Yeah, sure.
And see what you're cooking.
Yes.
As fellow chef Radhi Mani cooked for a queue of customers, she and Shantanu told me what's on the menu at Pappy's Pickles.
This is called chaat. What we make is edible bowls made with organic plain flour. And then the mix inside it is quinoa and chickpeas and wild rice. And we make two sauces, tamarind sauce and yogurt sauce. And that goes on top.
Now, I'm recognising yogurt and tamarind, but I'm not recognising quinoa in South Indian.
No, that's I think that's something new. We've just sort of, you know, it's healthy. And we use semolina, but semolina's too fine. So that's like, we try to stick pretty much with traditional Sri Lankan recipes. But that's sort of, you know, was a bit tempting to try something a bit different. And it's been very popular.
So people are going to come and they're going to be looking for Sri Lankan or South Indian food, yep, Tamil food.
Yes.
And they're going to find actually Tamil with a twist.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think especially if you're trying to work with seasonal products, which we are very particular. So we look at you know, what's out in January, what's out in Feb. I mean, we've recently decided to do a pickle which has got rhubarb, which is not traditional, but I think you need to work with the local products, what's available, the seasonal products. And so, I mean, we did a pumpkin sodhi, which is not traditional, but it's still a sodhi, still got coconut milk, all the ingredients, but we decided to do it with pumpkin in October, and I think that's great. You need a change, you need a bit of variety, you know, something different.
So I'm crunching into what is the nearest thing to pastry in South Indian cooking, and it's really very delicious. The tamarind is a particular taste though, isn't it? It's quite sharp and it's quite sour.
Yes. Tamarind is something which grows everywhere in South India. You'd find tamarind trees along the streets when you're walking around, and it comes with a shell and it's got the seeds inside, and obviously you can't get the tamarind exactly how it is, but we still try and use the traditional tamarind which we soak with the seeds to extract the juice. So we don't use tamarind paste or tamarind pulp.
Tell me about this one.
This is a very traditional Sri Lankan starter. It's called mutton rolls. It's made with mutton in Sri Lanka, and mutton is available here, but obviously we use free range products, so we've substituted it for free range lamb. So it's made with onions, ginger, garlic, potatoes and lamb mince. And we make our own fresh spice mix every time we do it. And then it's wrapped up in pastry.
It's the nearest thing I can think of is it's a much smaller, delicate version of our Cornish pasty.
Is it?
Yeah. In that Cornish pasty was developed as a sort of a... keeps the meat warm.
Yes.
Workers used to take it to work.
Yeah. Meat is very expensive in South India and Sri Lanka, and I would have suspected mutton is quite... It's a special occasion where the goat is sacrificed and the meat is got out. It is traditional, but I wouldn't say it's a everyday food. I mean, we use coconut because coconut grows in our back gardens, and we use a lot of vegetarian. Vegetarian is very popular. It's a lot more healthier food than some other parts of India. And it's all rice-based. Rice grows in the south, whereas north is more wheat-based, and you have all the naans and the breads, whereas we do the puttus and the idli and the dosa. And it's also gluten-free. It happens to be gluten-free, which I suppose makes it very popular now, because people are trying to get away from the wheat and gluten-based food.
You've got a masala dosa.
Yes, that is gluten-free. So we make the batter very traditionally. So we have... it's an electric grinder, but it's got like a stone... inside. So we soak a rice and we soak a lentil, and then it's ground in that, and it's naturally fermented. That's the beauty of the dosa. You don't add anything, and it takes up to 24 hours, and then you get a quality of dosa which sort of bubbles up. It's light, fluffy, and you can use any filling. I mean, there are we've done other street food festivals where you can have like 5-6 range of filling. Pretty much anything goes into it. And we do hoppers as well. A hopper is a type of dosa, but it's made with rice and coconut, and again it's very versatile. It's light, it's fluffy. You can have like a savory filling, you can have a sweet filling, and traditionally it's used with coconut milk, sweetened coconut milk, I mean fresh coconut milk, and then you just soak it in the hopper and eat it. But now it's like become very popular, I think, recently.
Now, street food and pop-ups have become fantastically popular. Yeah. And Sri Lankan South Indian food is perfect for that, isn't it? Because
it is,
you eat it with your hands, and it's all very immediate.
Yeah. I suppose when we started, it was, you know, very small scale. We started from home, and Abhi, who's the founder, she's very passionate, and obviously she's worked with a lot of London charities. She's worked with Food Poverty for London. So she had a lot of contacts, and we started sort of finding restaurants who let you have their space in the evenings. And like you say, pop-up was becoming popular, and we would design different menus. So we've done several successful pop-ups in the last 3 years, as well as catering and events. And I think also when you're a social enterprise, other social enterprises want to work with you. You have a lot of charities. I mean, there are a lot of people who like what we do. Not just the fact we work with women, that we are a London Living Wage employer. And
what does that mean, Shantini?
Everyone gets paid £9.40 an hour, no matter if they've just started, what they do. And also, everyone works together as a team. We don't have someone who does the washing up. We all take turns, so it's very much everyone's treated the same.
So this is a really important thing, isn't it, for you, that employing Sri Lankan women
South
and South Indian women who haven't necessarily always had the greater opportunities.
No, no, that's right. They haven't had, I mean, the three of the women who work for us have never worked before in this country, because obviously they don't speak very good English. It's a confidence thing. It has been remarkable for them, and it's very rewarding. It's changed their life. I mean, I know that sounds dramatic and it's like a cliche, but that's what it has meant for them. And it's a much more traditional community than the Indians. They are not as forward as the Indians are. The Indian Tamils are, and they sort of like to stay in their comfort zone, and they always, like, whether it's East Ham or North London, they don't like to come out of the comfort zone. They look for jobs within there. They don't want to, I mean, some of them have been here 15 years and not traveled by tube. So we encourage them to come out of the comfort zone, and you know, we used to meet them in tube stations, give them detailed instructions, and then then take them with us to our destination, always travel together. And now everyone who's worked with us, they go off and do events by themselves. They travel anywhere. All we have to do is say, this is where the place is. And their confidence has grown. I mean, they feel that life has a purpose. It has a meaning. And that's amazing.
Now, Sri Lanka has just emerged from 40 years of conflict.
Yeah.
That's a whole lifetime for some of these women who are coming out of it. I'm wondering how important, you know, cooking Sri Lankan Sinhalese food is for people who've actually come out of that kind of conflict.
I think it's really important. It's sort of is something that reminds them of home. I can't say I can empathize, but I can't say I know what it's like to flee your home and come here. It's completely different. I mean, for me, it was a choice, and I can go back anytime, and a lot of them can't go back. And we recently did a collaboration with the Conflict Cafe, where it's all through the food, and that means that they can relate to it. It's something very comforting that you're able to eat that food here even though you're not at home.
So, and the wonderful thing about the Conflict Cafe is that people get to eat together and find out about those conflicts.
It was an amazing opportunity. We were sold out, and because they wanted to concentrate on a Sri Lankan and I'm an Indian, we had to have one of the ladies who works with us as the head chef, and we managed to whip out, I don't know, 60-70 hoppers on the spot. So it was incredible. I mean, I think even they don't realize what the capacity is unless you do an event like that, and then it's put to the test, and they delivered. I mean, obviously we helped, but they were able to, and you know, Ruby stood in front of 60 people and was able to say a few words.
Fantastically
empowering. It is.
The fact that their food is appearing on pop-ups and street food and is part of that whole zeitgeist, does that make them feel more at home in a strange land?
I think so, and I think it makes them also really proud. I mean, these are women who are very shy, not a lot of confidence, and for them to think that someone actually enjoys their food, I think it's value. They don't value their food a lot. Maybe we didn't as well. Until you realize, until you start doing something, and you think, wow, you know, people actually enjoy it. They want to come and eat this. So I think that makes them, it's not just about them and the food. Maybe as a country, as a culture, that, you know, they boost them up. And to think that, oh, you know, we are important, or we matter, or it's valued.
Abby is passionate about using their food to change eating habits in outreach programs in London schools.
Abby is very particular about a fairer food system, that quality food should be available to everyone. And we did a program which is We Are What We Are. I think that's what they're called now, where you try to change the habits of secondary school children, try to get them away from the burgers and the chicken, and still have the same quality food for that price. So I think it's important that people are educated, are more aware, and we go to places where they might offer us a reasonable cost for our food, but then we have gone to places where it's on a budget, or we work with other charities, or we work with people but we still offer the same quality of food, whether it's like they say we can only offer £5 for a lunch, or if we should get paid £10 for a buffet style simple lunch, the quality doesn't change. So I think it's important.
Now, while you've been here in Britain, food has changed phenomenally.
It has, yes, definitely. I was a vegetarian until very recently. It's because of my caste, the way I was brought up, very traditional family. And when I first came here, I remember thinking, I want to eat a burger, and I couldn't. And because now I make my own decisions, and I think it doesn't matter what you eat, it's nothing to do with your faith or religion. And also, I used to be ashamed to say I'm a vegetarian. It's like, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, you're the coolest woman in town.
But now I'm not vegetarian anymore. But it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. And I think but I would say it still is one of the best countries to be in, where for the versatile food that you get. And even now you could travel in Europe to lots of places and you do not get the vegetarian food, or it's very much meat based, whereas I think here is vegetarian and fish is very popular, and you can pretty much get anything you want, and the standard has gone up, I think. I'm sure it's all types of food, but even the Indian food, I mean, the times were used to be a lot more greasy, a lot more unhealthy. I think it's changed. I mean, apparently there's a food revolution, and I think it's brought about... I mean,
You're in it, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's made everyone take a look at what they're offering, the quality, the standard, and, you know, and if someone starts doing it, then everybody else has to follow to keep up the standards. So, yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
Tamil Food is based on the philosophy that food is a noble service and is the ethos behind Pappy's Pickles. Shantani explained what that means.
For example, a wedding, when you compare a wedding, I mean, not that weddings here are great and we've done 3 weddings. Traditionally, the food is what is important in the wedding. Nothing else matters. It's not about even the outfits or the venue or the music. The food has to speak. That's how you judge a wedding. So, and hospitality is really important. And I think it might sound a bit... unusual, but I'm quite spiritual. I have been religious, and I think it has to be prepared with love, and it has to be served with love. So it's not something you need to enjoy doing it, cooking it, and wanting, you know, people to taste it.
And presumably, what you're doing with the unemployed women, the refugee women, that would feed back into that idea of noble service.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I just think it's one of the most important things you could offer someone, because this is something. It's such a personal, private. Relationship everyone has with food. So I think it's almost an honor to serve someone your food and for them to enjoy it. And we have an old saying that that's your blessing. If someone eats your food and think it's not a conscious thing and they enjoy your food, and you just think that's like good karma.
Right, that's really cool.
Thanks for listening to the Borough Market podcast. You can find out much more at boroughmarket.org.uk. Join us next week to hear more stories behind the stalls of London's most famous market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.